Grace to you and peace in the name of our newborn Savior, the Christ child of God. Amen. I always enjoy watching children, at least I should say young children, participate in Christmas gift exchanges because they are always very easily influenced by the wrapping of the presents. When it is their turn to pick, they almost always gravitate toward those gifts that are the prettiest. You know, the ones that have the beautiful, shiny wrapping paper and maybe a nice big bow upon them. They have learned to associate the beauty of the wrapping with the value of the gift. In their minds, they think, the prettier the paper, the prettier the wrapping, the better the gift. But as children get a little bit older, they become a little bit more savvy in their ability to choose presents. Because they learn from experience that you can't always judge a book by its cover, and likewise, you can't always judge the value of a gift by the way it's wrapped. In fact, sometimes parents deliberately wrap really nice gifts in kind of ugly wrapping just to fool the kids. And they learn that over time. And so as children become a little bit older and a little wiser, they learn that the value of the gift is not necessarily tied to the beauty of the wrapping. I saw just a few weeks ago a story on the internet, and maybe some of you read this story also, where 12 small gold bars were discovered in the restroom, or the restrooms, the toilets, of an Indian Airlines jet airplane. Now, these 12 gold bars were discovered by the cleaning crew. And they are worth a reported $1.18 million. Now, I think most of us would agree that the toilets of an airplane are about the last place you would ever look to find something valuable. But there they were. And so it is that the animal feeding troughs of a simple barn or a cave, wrapped in strips of cloth, is the last place that anyone would probably ever look for a savior or a king. But that is precisely where the angel said that he would be. And that is precisely where the shepherds found him to be. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Which proves once again that you can't judge a book by its cover. And you most certainly cannot judge a gift by its wrapping. For wrapped up in those swaddling cloths was the Lord of creation and the King of the universe. He was the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That little child was the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star, the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the ute, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the promised Emmanuel, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That little child wrapped in those simple cloths and lying in that lowly manger was the very and the only Son of the Most High God. The angels proclaimed it. The shepherds accepted it. Mary and Joseph knew it. But the rest of the world would not be quite so receptive of it. In fact, later, when he grew and he went around and began to teach and to preach, the people who had grown up with him said of him, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They didn't understand how he could speak such gracious and amazing words when he was simply one of them, coming from where they had come from. How could he possibly be something special? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests and the teachers of the law would think similarly. How dare he presume to teach and to correct and to contradict them? He was nothing more than a traveling preacher and a former carpenter, born a nobody and destined to die a nobody. Even those who wanted to believe that perhaps he was something more, something special, or at least were open to the idea of it, even folks like Pilate and Herod, they had a hard time with it once they actually met him and listened to him. Nothing about him screamed out royalty or kingly or powerful. To the contrary, they found him to be somewhat of an enigma. That he was born in a stable and placed in a manger and was wrapped in simple swaddling cloths as an infant, none of that would have come as a shock to anyone. Isaiah himself had prophesied about this man, that he would have no beauty and no majesty that would attract people to him. Nothing about his appearance would make folks desire him. And thus, how is anyone to know that he was someone special? How are they to know that this baby, this man, was the promised Messiah? Why should they, or we for that matter, believe this lowly baby to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world? I'll tell you why. Because of the cross. You see, this simple, ordinary, unimpressive baby grew up to be a man, a perfect man, a man who would die upon a cross as the all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. And we know that he was who the angels proclaimed him to be, and who the shepherds believed him to be, and who Mary and Joseph knew him to be, and who we needed him to be. Because 3 days after he died, he rose from the grave. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world because he did what only God himself could do. He rose from the dead. And thus, no matter how meager or how simple, how insignificant was his initial wrapping, We know him to be the most valuable and the most precious gift of all. For born to us on this night, so many years ago, wrapped in nothing but swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, was the Savior, Christ our Lord. May the joy proclaimed by the angels and experienced by the shepherds be known also by us as we hold in our hearts the love and the forgiveness of this most valuable gift, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth, for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.